June 8, 2022, it's the Watt for Pedro Show.
Thank you. You put your elbow in, shimmy all the way down. You shake up the knees, you work out the sound. You're toasting the toaster, knees turn to brown. I want it more, I want it more, more, more. I want it more, I want it more, more, more. I want it more, I want it more, more. You got a man's body. You put your love in the head, wiggle to fit.
Pedro Show, happy Wednesday. Started off with John Coltrane doing Violets for Your Furs and Man's Body with Man's Body Theme. Got to thank Howard for the connect, but I got with me Greg Franco and Jay.
Yep.
Naimi?
Naimi, yeah.
Okay. Who's the guest? Greg's in Mount Washington here in SoCal. Jay's in Chi-Town. So,
I got how you doing, Watt?
I got connects with both. We got to give Howard credit, right? Who wants to go first? Because I want to learn about you guys' journey through music.
Go ahead, Greg.
Okay.
Greg, please bring me your earliest musical recollection.
Oh, man, you know, the 60s in Monterey Park, you know, just, you know, the Carpenters Sing or something, you know, and then Steeler's Wheel. I bought that single, Stuck in the Middle with You.
Yeah, I remember that. I thought Carpenters were Downey.
What's that? What about Downey?
Yeah, Carpenters, oh, yeah. They were from Downey.
Yeah, I was living in Monterey Park when, as a little kid, you know, like 4 or 5 years old, when you come into consciousness, you start asking your mom to go to JCPenney and buy the single, you know.
Sure. Let me ask you, Pat, you grew up there in Monterey Park. Was there musical instruments?
I got one. Nobody in my family played music, and I got a guitar for Christmas, but then it didn't stick at that time, you know? It was just the little kid thing and didn't play music
which
again
Christmas?
Until...
Which Christmas?
Oh, wow. Christmas 68, 69?
Little boy land. Okay. And what about, yeah. Let me ask you about school. Were you in the choir or the marching band or shit like that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I got drafted into the little concert band in junior high. When I moved to Van Nuys, I was over there at John Madison Junior High and the
Valley.
Doctors. Yeah.
So what instrument?
French horn.
Wow. John Entwistle, right? John Entwistle,
yeah,
has
but I also played accordion too as a kid, which is weird, but.
He's got a French horn solo in Pictures of Lily. Hard mouthpiece, right? It's narrow and shit.
It's a, it's very, Yeah.
How did you get on that, and how did you get on the accordion? Was the accordion part of school?
The accordion was mom just said, you're going to take accordion lessons for some reason and piano lessons.
Okay.
So that was good. Mom was very encouraging in the music.
So what, there was a piano in the pad?
Yeah, mom was dragging around a baby grand, even to the apartments we lived in. It's hilarious.
And how was your experience? Because some people had real bad piano teacher experience.
Terrible. Awful.
And why? Why do you think, Greg?
Because our family never ate garlic, and this guy smelled like garlic. He was the Italian guy. And my sister and I could not sit up the bench next to him, I swear to God.
So there was an odor to it.
Yeah, I just couldn't deal.
And but did he teach it anything valuable later?
Just, you know, man, monk, you know.
Really?
Like, just fucking
you're the first guy. You're the first guy I know that had piano lessons where they fucking were playing monk and not, you know.
No. I don't mean that. That didn't. I'm just saying that I wish it was like that.
Oh,
you know.
Okay. And
I think the piano just being there, Watt, was like, you know, I just played it whatever, you know, on my own way, you know.
Okay.
I never learned it. I never learned anything, really. I just play stuff, you know. I never even read music, sight read music in the marching band. I just made it up.
Really? And the teacher didn't get pissed?
They gave me a playing test, and he stopped the tape, and he goes, you're playing nothing on the, but it sounds fine. And he goes, I don't know what to do with you. But they needed, at that point in the marching band, I was playing the sousaphone, and I was a bigger kid
sousaphone.
Who had some air, and they just needed that bottom end.
The column of air to support all that tubing.
There's a lot of air in that. That's why I'm a singer, I think.
It was just plastic, or was it brass?
It was brass.
Fucking heavy as hell then, right?
Right. I carried that thing around. I was like a linebacker.
That's
I
a schlep. That's a schlep, Greg. So
yeah,
you end up playing a whole bunch of instruments. Okay. So, but what I heard about, the good thing is they got big mouthpieces. Whereas like marching with a French horn, it's tough. A trumpet too. Is a little.
Well, we had to call the mellophone, which is in between a trumpet and a French horn.
Yeah.
And I played that too.
Whoa. And did you buy all these things or did you use the schools?
No, the school. Man, the school had money. Burbank High, when I finally got to high school.
Oh, you then the other side of the valley. From Van Nuys in the west side to the east side in Burbank. Okay. So people who don't know SoCal, I got to like help them along there, Greg.
Oh, I know. I moved like 37 times in
the
valley.
What was the first record you bought with your own money?
Oof, maybe some Elton John record. I don't know. Maybe the first one I got, or that could have been a gift. I can't remember.
No, with your own money, because when you're a kid, you ain't got a lot of money. That's why I'm curious about that.
Probably that Sing single by the Carpenters or something like that. Early shit, right?
And what was the first gig you saw?
First gig I saw? Oh, this is a good one. Dad, when my mom and dad were together, we went to an opening of the Montebello Plaza, and they had Tavares, Rare Earth, and War.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's pretty badass.
I saw Rare Earth open for the California Jam, and War was Strong Beach.
Yeah. Oh, my God, dude, what a band.
Yeah, great
Jesus.
Man. And the stuff with Eric Bird. What about the stuff, not after school, like graduate, but after school in the afternoon, the garage band, the bedroom band,
absolutely.
The basement band, did you do that?
The bedroom band, I slept in a what do you call it, sleeping bag, because the drums, you know, because the thing had to be set up all the time, you know,
right.
In the bedroom.
So you were the drummer man at that point?
No, just had the drums there, the guys
took
the bus
there. I do the same shit with my prac pad, because I get tired of waiting for people to tear down and set up. I just got a kit so I can jump on. Yeah. And now, this band, did it have a name?
We had the band's called the Blasphemous Yellow.
That's a good name. And what kind of material? Did you write your own, or did you copy stuff off the records?
It was all
like
original, dude. And,
wow.
And we sucked. We sucked before we were good, but we stuck it out, and we got good, you know?
Can you remember the first song, the first blasphemous Yellow song that was written?
Man with the Gun.
Wow, that's close to Minuteman.
Little man with a gun in his hand, yeah.
You're just a man.
It's the same idea. We were thinking along the same lines. I didn't hear the Minuteman song till later. But
well, actually the lyrics is from the Black Flag bass player, Chuck Dukowski.
Wow, is that right?
Yeah, we were on tour with them in Europe, and he gave them words. Okay, what about, did Blasphemous Yella do gigs?
Dude, we played the Addy Club on July 5th, 85, with Uranium. You guys played on the day before. That was the 4th of July show, Addy Club.
That's the last time the Minutemen played there. We played there a buttload of times. So tell me about the first Blasphemous Yella gig. Was it a success?
At the Fiesta House, which was
I remember Fiesta House.
Yeah.
I think it was on Pico. It was downtown.
It was Santa Fe Street, downtown, south downtown. A Mexican restaurant in the middle of a warehouse district.
Yeah.
And we played with the Party Boys at Dead Adventure.
Oh, I remember Party Boys. They were a Big Al's bar band.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, nice guys. But tell me about that gig. Now, at this point, who's in the band? Who was in the band? And what were you doing?
I was singing and playing a drum. Like, my dad had this business where they had these big drums with, like, an aluminum bottom, and I would hit it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just, but you had a guy on traps, too?
We had a guy on traps.
So you were like kind of the percussion guy. Like when I saw Rare Earth, they had a dude who played cowbell the whole fucking time. His hand must have been like throbbing.
So what we were doing, we were, you know, just kids, you know, from Canoga Park at that point.
Canoga Park. We moved over there. Yeah.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
All over the place. Look, I want to play Bonjour. Tristesse, yes. It's an Ashtray Boy. I'm going to have to learn about them. God damn it. There's also Koala Boy, but I'm going to play that in the third hour. Listen.
Drive all night. Swallow time zone, set your sights. You're running for wrong. It's not the same.
falso, ritmo lento, sempre fuori, dal motore, vivere a rallentatore, lavorare con lentezza, senza fare alcun ascolto, ci saluto.
In the past, the freedom fights, but only from the present.
Watch for Pedro show. That chunk of music started with Ashtray Boy doing Bonjour Tristesse. Then Noemi Bucci, brand new, Manifesting Plastic Sorrow. Schooner, Canada, Live, Dissolver. Viveo La Mer from up in the city, Impending Happiness. Research zine editor, man. Actually, first keyboard player of Blue Cheer. For Ethan James or Ralph Kellogg. Noisuka after that. Lavara con Lentaza. Lentaza? Sorry. Northern Job. Metropolis Strain. Bombs Prennan. Bread Mold Clock. Movement 2. Love Supreme. Finally, Man's Body with Handler. Jay, your turn. Please bring your earliest musical recollection.
Yeah, so for me, it was all about WLS 89. It was AM 89 when I was growing up in Chicago in the 70s. So that was like, you know, they played 60s and 70s hits. That's where I cut my teeth as a kid. You know, I used to have the radio on all the time.
WLS? Then,
WLS, yes. World's largest station.
Well, when you hear those three letters, in the old days they called that Clear Channel. Because they wouldn't put any other channels. It was part of the civil defense, like KNX here and the KGO up in the city. And okay, so what you remember is the radio. In the pad where you grew up, was there musical instruments?
My dad played guitar, yeah. Awesome. So we used to jam a little bit when I was a kid. He played a lot of country and western, Johnny Cash and stuff like that.
Okay.
Chris Christopherson. So I used to sing along with him while he would play and sing. We'd sing together.
Whoa.
But that was about it. You know.
Did he get you your own guitar, or did you use one of his?
Eventually I did, yeah. When I was 14, I got my own guitar.
Before that, what about the grade school thing? Were you in the choir or the marching band or shit like that?
Nope, nothing.
Okay.
I just listened to music really religiously. The next big thing was when I discovered the Beatles.
Well, tell me about the first record you bought with your own money.
I think it was, I bought a bunch of 7-inches at Woolworths. I used to go to Woolworths and get them for like 89 cents or whatever off the rack. But probably the first album I bought was Combat Rock by The Clash.
I consider a 45 a record.
Yeah. I can't think of any particular titles, but...
In fact, my first record I bought was American Woman by the Guess Who.
And it was 7-inch. Good one.
Yeah, now the first gig you went and saw?
First gig was The Police on the Synchronicity Tour, 1984.
Okay. Now, you were 14 years old, you got your own guitar. But you had already been playing with your pop, right?
Right.
Now, did you get further instructions?
Yeah, I took lessons in high school. Took guitar lessons from a couple of guys.
At the school or outside of school?
After school, like outside of school.
Okay. And what that first guitar you got, what kind was it?
I rented an Epiphone.
But it was an electric guitar.
Yeah, electric guitar, double cutaway, black Epiphone.
You must have got an amp too?
Yeah, a little amp.
Okay. And what was it like? Did... you bring them records. Hey, teach me how to play this song.
Yeah, I go in there, you know, teach me how to play, King of the Hill by the Minutemen or whatever, you know.
Well, some dudes were like, well, here's the Mel Bay method or Alfred guitar method. You know, I've had different experiences from different people. But
no, I just kind of went in. I'd go in there and just be like, you know, I want to figure out this Van Halen song or whatever. And the guy would teach it to me. Yeah, what? Have you ever heard of this? Do you remember this band called, this song called, The Curly Shuffle?
Oh.
It was a big hit in the early 80s.
Sounds familiar for some reason. What was the band?
Jump in the Saddle Band was the name of the band. Anyways, the bass player was my guitar teacher. They had one minor hit called The Curly Shuffle. It was a reference to Curly from the Three Stooges.
Okay.
It was a novelty song, but it was kind of a hit. Anyways, that was my teacher.
He had a kind of shuffle. He also had the thing, if he couldn't remember the words, he'd fall on the ground and start spinning on his side. Now, did you, after school, not graduate, but afternoon, did you do the garage band, basement band, bedroom band?
Oh, yeah.
Tell me
about it. Yeah, my band was, my high school band was called Fussy Pussy.
And where'd you prac?
We practiced at our drummer's basement, my drummer's dad's house in the basement.
It's usually where the drums are.
Yeah.
That's what I found out.
The dad was super cool. He let us, like, spray paint the walls and bring in all, like, stolen shit that we had. Like, you know, we would steal, like, traffic cones and things and blinkers and stuff. And we just decorated out our jam space. And the guy's dad was super cool. He just let us do whatever we wanted.
You're talking about those cones that, like, warn people that the bridge is out or something.
Yeah, or, like, that they blink, you know, they flash.
That's what I'm saying. So, especially if it's raining and dark and they just go right over the bridge, right over the broken road, right?
No, nobody got hurt, you know. We didn't take up many crucial days.
Look, George gave me a fucking street sign for Coil Avenue because coil was one of his words for big fucking sorote. So, yeah.
That's a good.
In fact, he called ahead a coiling booth, you know. So I got a coil. I got one of those at my prac pad. What about the... What kind of material? Was it original or were you copying off records?
I was writing originals as soon as I could.
Okay.
So so Fussy Pussy was an originals band.
And tell me about the first Fussy Pussy song you wrote. Can you remember?
Oh, man. I can't remember. Most of them were pretty bad, but there were some songs that were okay. Man's Body adapted a Fussy Pussy song recently. We're readapting it.
Well, what about gigs? Did Fussy Pussy do gigs?
Yeah, we would play like the sock hop, you know, and
can you remember
like,
the first one? Can you remember the first gig?
Yeah, we played in my friend's living room. That was my first gig.
Whoa.
For a birthday party.
And how'd it go? Was it a success?
I think it was okay. I think everyone thought we were real cool. We thought we were real cool. We played like all the songs like double speed, I think, and made a ton of mistakes, but it was great.
Blowing clams. And how many piece band?
That was four piece.
Quartet.
And, yes, sir.
And when you get done with school, do you continue with music?
Yeah, I went to college for music, so I studied. Percussion was my instrument. I switched to drums in college, but I was a music major, music composition and theory major.
What school?
Columbia College, Chicago.
Oh yeah, okay. And how's the experience?
It was terrific. You know, I kind of bounced around. I went to three different colleges, and finally I ended up in Chicago. And this was the best of all three. You know, I went to like a big private university, and then I went to a big state university, and I just wasn't digging either one. So then I went to this kind of like little art school called Columbia College.
Sure.
And switched to music. I was a psychology major first, and I switched to music. Well, and it was terrific.
Why did you switch from guitar to drums?
I don't really know. I started playing drums. And then I landed in some bands, and then I kind of ran with the ball, you know.
You know, in the old days when bands had horns, that was the loudest fucking thing because there was no amplifiers. Guitars were always in the rhythm section with the drums, the bass, and piano.
Right, right.
So, yeah, because everybody had to fucking lay on the eighth notes as much as possible because the horns were just so fucking loud. But amps changed all that, didn't they?
That's right.
Look, we're at the end of the first hour. June 8, 2022, we got Greg and Jay from Man's Body. Hold tight for hour two. June 8, 2022, it's the second hour of the Watt for Pedro Show.
Did you leave me holding on and on? Completely dies tonight. bleib doch noch hier, hier bei mir. Komm, Schöne, schau mich doch an. Schmink dir den Mund, stoß mich gesund, tanz mich, ich bin ein Vulkan.
Pedro Show. Started off the second hour with Man's Body doing Contact Sign. Then out of Tasmania, we had Ben Salter with Urge. Blood Quartet out of Barcelona after that, brand new Dimensions of a Shadow. Brand new out of Berlin, Kim Bohm Kestner with Pompeji. Pompeji? Got a J in there. Italians don't use J. No,
yeah.
They don't use K. They don't use J or K, huh? The old Roman alphabet didn't have it. Okay, number 12 from Lawrence Kendrick for String and Tins. And then The Natural Host, Man's Body. So I want to know, how did Man's Body get together?
Should I do this? Or you?
Yeah, tell him. Go ahead, Greg.
Okay. You know this French restaurant on Sunset Boulevard in Echo Park called Tex?
Oh, yeah. T-A-I-X.
T-A-X. I booked Friday nights their music from 2011 to 2017. And right in the middle of that, someone called me up. My buddy Andy Crichton said, we need a gig. This guy's coming in from Chicago. We're in this band, Ashtray Boy. So they played the venue, and afterwards we hung out, and I got to know Jay.
So Jay's band was Ashtray. When we played Ashtray Boy last hour, that was one of Jay's early bands.
Yeah.
Yes. That's correct.
Let's hear the story. I want to know the story, Ashtray Boy. How far is this after music college, Jay?
Yeah, this is when I was in college, yeah.
Okay. And what'd you do, drums?
I played drums, yeah.
Okay.
The singer was from Australia, so we had this long-distance band going for a while.
And you come to SoCal, and Greg can get you the gig.
Right.
Okay, then what happens at the gig?
Greg missed the gig, but it was a good gig. And then afterwards he hooked up with us and we did a radio interview and, Greg hung out with us in the studio and we got to know each other and thought, yeah, we should play some music together sometime, you know?
You mean part of the Ashtray Boy or a side project?
A side project, yeah.
Okay.
Well, no, it was Rev Church. He played drums for us, remember?
Yeah, okay.
We got some Rough Church I want to play next hour, but Greg, so that's one of your early bands?
Still going, yeah.
Oh, still going. Okay.
Yeah, still going.
Well, how did Rough Church get together?
Just some friends in a house kind of thing. You know, we made a record.
Like
roommate, and then
you're talking about roommates, like kind of thing?
Well, it was a house that I got over here in Highland Park, like my first house that I bought. And I had some friends moved in because, you know, why not just have a house with, you know, people living there? And we started a band called Rough Church. So that was my cousin and this guy, Jeff Hogan.
What did you do in Rough Church?
I was playing guitar by this point and singing. Okay. And so we added this guy Five Track on lead guitar, and we made a record called The Wow Signal. And yeah, that was the beginning of it. It was like 2005. So
did Rough Church ever get to play with Ashtray Boy?
No, not yet.
That would be cool. Or Man's Body with, you know, yeah.
No, so, I'm just trying to find the cool intersection. So it was a radio interview?
Right. And then afterwards, Greg and I kind of exchanged numbers or whatever, and he invited me to play with Rough Church in Chicago. So we did that in 2015.
You mean, what, like Rough Church was on tour or something?
Yeah, they came to Chicago to play, and I filled in on drums.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I got to bother you using words because I don't have the mind reading thing down yet. But when I get that happen, you won't have to waste so much energy with words and stuff. But I'm trying to get the timelines here. Okay, so when you say you invite him on stage, are you talking one song or the whole set?
For the whole set, yeah. We did two shows. We played a club show in Chicago, and then we did a day trotter session out in Iowa.
I've been there. Yeah, I've been there. So when he played with you, did he already know the songs?
Yeah, he sent me the songs ahead of time.
Okay. So you were all prepared.
Yeah.
That's bitching. And you got done with your thing and then played with them. Okay.
That's right.
I want to play Do It Slow. Thank you for being
patient. Yeah, that's a good one.
For Pedro Show, that chunk of music started off with Man's Body, but Do It Slow. Then Lei Chien Nu, Plasma Field, Recount. classification. Luca Aaron with divisions of the field. O parasitic pathogen, O callus, catalase, rubber, O cement. And then July for man's body. So, when did man's body, was it kind of sending each other music? How did you get the first man's body stuff together?
Yeah, it was the following year then, 2016. Greg contacted me and was like, hey, you want to go into the studio in Chicago, Electrical Audio, Steve Albini's studio, and just record songs, you know.
Yeah, I got to record there.
Yeah, it's a good studio. So I was like, hell yeah, let's do it. So he sent me some songs in advance, and I learned them. I recruited this other guy, Marco, to come in and play bass. And then Greg and Marco met, shook hands, we recorded.
You guys were a trio then?
Yeah, it was a trio, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Greg, you on guitar and singing. Jay, you on drums. And then your buddy on bass.
Then, that's correct, yeah.
That's correct, yep.
And the tunes you already had worked out, or did you like do it in the studio?
We already had it worked out.
Yeah.
Even the new guy on bass. Okay.
He ended up joining up with us for 5 years. He left the band earlier this year, but he was with us, this guy Marco Obaya.
Yeah.
He was with us for about 5 years.
All right, Marco. And some guys are quick like that. Trevor Boulder, I heard in the Spires from Mars, learned all that shit in like one day for a BBC session.
Right.
Some guys are really good with that shit. So this was before Man's Body ever played a gig, right?
That's right.
Okay. So when you make the record, how long did it take?
One day.
One
day. We made an EP in one day. We had some couple covers as well. We did a Spark song and a Joe Jackson song.
Okay. That
kind of bent the rules a little bit, but.
That's okay. What about the first Man's Body gig?
Where was that?
Yeah, go ahead.
I don't know. I don't remember.
Okay.
Where was it?
Township.
It must have been after that recording, right?
Yeah, it was about a year. It was in the following year, I think.
Okay. And what happened? Greg, you went to Chicago?
Yeah, I'm the commuter.
You're the commuter.
That was fun. We've got a gig, and we're just getting our sea legs.
Yeah.
And how to play again, Jay? Were we a four-piece at that point, or three-piece? What were we doing?
I think we were four-piece, and I played drums.
Okay. Who was the fourth member? Another guitar player?
We had a bass player by then, and Marco switched to guitar.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I don't know if that's... Did we play it as a three-piece? I can't even remember.
You know, I should have asked you this before, but what was the first Man's Body song you guys wrote together?
Song?
Man's Body. Probably Man's Body Theme.
Ah, the Man's Body Theme. That makes sense. And who came up with the name of the band?
Greg. Yeah.
Ah, so in that picture, Marco's the younger guy on the port side.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
What was he, 17, 18 at the time?
Wow. 19, yeah.
19.
Wow, that's great. And now, what about touring? Did Man Body go on tour?
Did we? Yeah, we did. We went to Milwaukee and
we went all over the place.
Yeah.
Before COVID, at least, we were touring. We toured the East Coast, West Coast, some shows in the Midwest. Yeah, we were playing quite a bit.
Yeah, we were. That's true. New York, Philly.
Yeah. Connecticut.
Yeah.
And how was the experience?
It's awesome.
That's what we want to go back to.
Okay.
You know?
Some people bum on tour, and that I ask. You know, I've been doing it a little bit, so. I just got done with the 48 gig and 48 day tour.
Right. That's a different story.
I think it was empty bottle there in your town, Jay, and Greg, it was Zebulon near you.
You're going to be at Zebulon?
No, it was already happened. It was part of that tour. It was 12,580 miles. I drove them all.
Oh, wow.
It's a big country. Canada's bigger, though. So, look, we're at the end of the second hour, June 8, 2022. This is Wap Pedro Show. Special guest Greg and Jay from Man's Body. Hold tight for hour three. June 8, 2022. It's the third hour of the Wap Pedro Show.
Line all the way from Jackson. Do you understand? Came here. Thank you.
Pete Rose Show. He's got their, like, medical monitoring machinery going. You hear the beeps.
I know. It sounds like that.
Right. Man's Body. We start off third hour. 40-ounce kit. Crane after that. Change of heart. Fix Everything with a Cool Grave. Model Home. Their new record. They're doing their first Europe tour right now. Yard One. And then finally, Ashtray Boy. Koala Boy. Oh, the Koala Boy makes sense. You said Australian singer, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I wrote the lyrics, but it's about our Australian fan base. It's kind of poking fun at people a little bit, but it's all in good humor.
Yeah, they look trippy, koalas, and they only eat eucalyptus leaves.
Yeah.
How did you make the connect? What town in Australia?
He was originally from Sydney.
Yeah, the big town.
This is Randall Lee, the singer. He was in a band called the Canaans, and then that's kind of big in Australia. And he quit the Canaans and came to the U.S. to record an album. He came to the U.S. really just to sightsee. And then he ended up in Chicago with the label owner, the guy who runs the label that he was on. And he was like, the label owner was like, "Do you have any more songs?" And he's like, "Yeah, I got a shitload of songs." And he's like, "Well, let's go into the studio and record them." So he did, and he went into my studio with we had a studio, me and this guy Dave Trumfio, who now lives in L.A. We had a studio in our house in the basement, and Randall came in and recorded, and I just sat in on drums, and it kind of turned into a band from there.
And then you guys were touring, and that's how you meet, Greg and stuff. Greg, you got your band together just because it was guys that were hanging out the same pad.
Yeah, I mean, we were all musicians. My cousin, you know, was playing drums and bass guitar and all this stuff, and this guy Jeff was playing bass, and so we just had a 3-piece band in the beginning. We added this guy, and then we just kept playing the local watering holes or whatever.
You're
around
talking Highland Park, Mr. T's Bowl?
I think at that point Mr. T's was closed, around that area. It's back open again, but it's fancy.
Yeah, and it's a bowling alley again, right?
Yeah. Did you play at Mr. T's?
Buttloads of times.
Yeah, me too. I was in a band called Ferdinand in the 90s.
I remember you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jack Cinder. It was called Fuzzy Land at first.
Fuzzy Land, yep.
Right. It was really sad. Some idiot was going the wrong way on Sunset Boulevard and killed him in a car wreck.
I remember, because I used to go to the shows too, and I didn't know him personally, but that was tragic, yeah.
Yeah. But there was a lot of gigs. And I last played there in October.
Yeah.
But it was a Freemason hall up on the second floor, not too far from there.
The lodge room.
Yeah, it's trip how it's kind of changed here. Look, I want to play some Rough Church. Here's Raging Nation.
Shout it out this way.
Show last music for this edition started with Rough Church doing Raging Nation. Then we had Emily Robb with I Really Want to Know How to Moonwalk, Sarah Davachi with Chorus Scene, Aregius Phil's Bin with Everything All at Once, sonic tribute to the NAMM Show. I don't know anybody would want to fucking write a song as a tribute to the NAMM Show. And then finally, Bully My Heart, Rough Church. Greg, who was writing the tunes in Rough Church?
Man, you know, it's mostly me, like a good 80%, but like that song you just played, me and Fredo Ortiz wrote
Fredo.
That.
He was on the show a few months ago, and
that's right.
He's playing for Los Lobos now.
Yeah, he's my drummer when he's in town, you know.
Yeah, he's been playing with a lot of cats, you know, since the Beastie Boys. Gardena guy, but went to school in Pico Rivera, so had the connects. Yeah, but still, you got to have the skills, right? You got to have the, I don't know, kind of reason for living kind of thing. It's not all luck, but you got to be ready for when, and also, luck is good and bad, so it's not always good. Yeah, Freya, but it, man, he's a, I dig him a lot. Bongaloids, too. So, and then, Jay, you were telling me, like, you were writing some words for Ashtray Boy. Did you get more involved with songwriting?
Yeah, I did. When Ashtray Boy first started off, it was Randall doing all the songwriting, and then I think he just kind of got sick of writing lyrics, so he was like, Jay, why don't you start writing lyrics? So I did, and that's carried over into Man's Body, too. I write lyrics and songs for Man's Body as well. Greg and I split it kind of.
Yeah, I was going to ask how it's different with the Man's Body setup.
Yeah, we split the songwriting duties in Man's Body pretty much.
Drummers writing words. I think 13th Floor Elevators, Tommy.
Right, or and, Rush.
Yeah, you know.
Oh, boy.
I was going to say something like that. I don't think the first drummer, but the second drummer ended up the writing the librettos. But Yeah, also if you're playing a trio, you always get compared with that band. You know, nobody ever talks about right. Cream. I think Cream used an outside lyric writer, that Pete Brown guy. So right. Tell me how a man's body song comes together. Who goes first?
Go ahead, Greg.
Okay, like, for instance, Man's Body Theme, Jay just sent me the music. I wrote the lyric. I mean, there's plenty of examples of just that.
Yeah.
Sometimes Jay writes the full song and he wants me to sing the song, and he'll say how he wants it sang, and we do that. Or he says, leave it up to me and I'll write a lyric, sing it how I want. I think every song is like different, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just me, like 40 Ounce Kid. And then I have a writing partner here, Dante Pascuzzo in Rough Church. Also, we use him, and he and I construct songs too. And then Jay plays on them. So yeah.
Do words ever come first?
I think they come different times.
Okay.
You know,
yeah,
the words come, and then they get matched to something later. You know.
Do you keep like a little notebook of spiel so you have stuff always in reserve?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a total notebook guy.
And I'm curious, scribbler. Jake, I'm curious, do you ever compose songs on the drums?
No, not so much. I'm kind of retired from drumming at this point. I focus more on guitar these days.
Okay.
I would do my lyric writing separately, I guess. Yeah.
You know, Charles Mingus never wrote songs on bass. It was always piano. So I was just curious about that because, you know, Chico Hamilton couldn't get credit for songwriting, right? The 60s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, drummers can't write something. What's that about? Where can people find about you guys on the internet?
Our Facebook page, which is Man's Body Chicago.
Well, I think that's Mr. Zuckerberg's page, but he like lets you pretend it's yours.
Right. So we don't have
anything. You don't have your own website. We've got
a Bandcamp site. Bandcamp.
Sure. And they're probably the best site on the web, I think, for musicians, but still not your site. I just asked that because to me, having your own website is like having your own fanzine. That's
well, yeah,
and it's something from the old days, an ethic, you know, or an aesthetic,
yeah,
or both, that I like to carry over. And so a man's body, .bandcamp.com?
It's under our label Nocturnal Soul, but if you just do a search for Man's Body Bandcamp, you'll find it.
Okay.
We have SoundCloud too.
Use any search engine for that. And next plan?
We're gonna play in Chicago, July 20th at Burlington Bar.
All right. And when's the next record and stuff?
22nd, Milwaukee at what's the name of it?
Bremen Cafe.
Okay.
Bremen Cafe, yes, Bremen Cafe.
I didn't ask for the next gig. I said the next recording. Do you have a next recording planned?
Oh yes, we do. Yeah, we have a whole album in the can right now.
When you get that all made up, we come back on the show. We could talk about it.
Love you.
Thank you, Mike.
Beautiful, beautiful. Thanks so much for being on the show. Keep on keeping on, brothers. People, it's been the June 8th, 2022 edition of WAP Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.